Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I think as a Browns fan, you might be... Listen, they made a move you don't want them to make. You didn't want them to make. In hindsight, certainly, you didn't want them to make. But you can't say that they ain't trying to win. And you can't say that they are conspiring with all these other teams to fix prices or anything like that. They were going for the gusto when they did it. We'll talk to Mary-Kate Cabot coming up at 8:22 this morning about that. Yesterday, we had Mike Florio. Speaking of that investigation, Mike Florio was on the show. He was with Pablo Torre. And this is, Mike likes to have fun. If it were Pony, I'd cuss him out. Pony's a co-worker. He's another radio guy. Florio likes to have fun, but I think if I started cussing out Florio, who the hell knows what would happen.
A lawsuit on your hands.
I might, I'm not going to cuss out Florio. You get what I'm saying. He's a litigious man. But I've disagreed with Florio on the air before. I mean, the day after Miles had the incident with Mason Rudolph, that was a pretty tight interview right there. Contentious, if you will, with Mike and I. But Mike came on, and he brought up this little bit of information when I asked him about Kenny Pickett, because he has thrown out there the idea that Kenny Pickett, who they just traded for, could be on his way out before the end of training camp.
You got four guys. How are you going to properly get four guys ready for the season? And you got two of them that are rookies. They need their reps. So between Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett, one of them needs to go before training camp opens. Now, that's how a normally functioning football team would operate. With the Browns, you can never account for that because it's like they try to come up with new ways to be dysfunctional. And the dysfunctional thing to do is take all four guys to camp. I saw Mary-Kate Cabot's report from a week or so ago that the Browns may keep all four into the regular season and beyond the trade deadline. And that to me was, somebody's trying to get the folks out there who might be thinking about trying to trade for Pickett to realize you're not going to get him for peanuts. We're not going to cut him if we can't trade him. We'll take him to camp. We'll take him into the regular season. We'll take him past the trade deadline, unless they're going to do the dysfunctional thing and take four guys to camp. And then how are you going to get four guys ready for week one? And before you got to cut, you can't burn four roster spots on a 53-man roster on quarterbacks. You need those spots for other players.
One, oh, yes, you can.
Yeah,
and yes, they may. The second thing is, I can't say he's totally crazy, and the reason is that Andrew Berry is always going to try to get something out of something. It's his job. He's a general manager. I think everybody should try to get something out of something. You're going to say something over here. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jason.
No, I've got a couple different trains of thoughts. Number one, why can't you carry four on the 53? This team isn't going anywhere.
Totally agree.
So what's one extra roster spot?
Don't know.
It's one extra linebacker you're not carrying, or one, I don't know. I think you can nip and tuck the roster somewhere. I don't know where the
only thing is they might find, they have been a team that's been devoid of draft picks for a while. Yeah. And if they do find some kid in the, who they figure is a diamond in the rough somewhere at another position, and they're going, man, this kid, I don't know if we can stash him. Like one of those things,
right?
Maybe. But again, as I say it, I know that that's probably a long shot with you. Yeah.
Here's the thing that I don't understand. And cause I've said before, I think Kenny's the week one starter. For all the people who assume it's Joe, why did they wait till April 11th, a month into free agency, to sign him if he was their starting quarterback? Why wouldn't you have signed him on day one? Why was the first move they made to acquire Kenny Pickett? Why did they wait a month into free agency to sign Flacco if Flacco is who they want to be the starting quarterback on this team?
I just trust Joe more, that's all. I
don't disagree with that, but I'm talking from the Browns' perspective.
Yeah, but when it comes to our arguments, you can't conflate it. Now, I know you're not doing it with me, but I got to ask you: have you heard so many people say they want Joe Flacco? That these people are saying they are going to start Joe Flacco? Because I want Joe Flacco to start the season.
Yeah,
I don't really think I'm going to get my way.
Who do you think it's going
to
be?
I think it's probably going to be. I listen to the people who are actually close to it, and God bless the guys who are national. Because we're about to play one, but there's a lot of national guys who say Joe Flacco, and I'm like, okay, that's great, but when you say Kenny Pickett and some of the other ones that are closer saying Kenny Pickett, I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going to have to buckle up and get ready for the Kenny Pickett experience.
And maybe, because the way I said this before, when I saw him at OTAs, I was really impressed at how Joe could still throw it. Because it's been a couple years since we've seen him, right? And he came out at OTAs, and I said, wow, Joe, can he still spin it? Like, I thought he threw it the best of everybody that we saw, but I still have always felt like I just think Kenny Pickett's the day one starter. Now, if training camp comes around and Joe wows everyone and blows everybody away, of course he can overtake him. But I look at the timing of this, and I look at how quickly the Browns moved to acquire Pickett, and I look how long it took them to bring in Flacco and combine it with a couple other things, and I think Kenny is the early leader on this. And a lot of people think I'm nuts.
So Pickett is clearly the guy who's the leader to be starting week one to you.
I wouldn't say clearly. Okay. It's just who I think.
So is he clearly because the question is he closer to being the week one starter or being traded? And I think you're saying he's way closer to being the week one starter.
I think he is, yeah. Or you could be Charlie Fry and you could start week one and get traded in week two.
Greg Rosenthal on NFL Network had this to say about the entire situation.
Ultimately, I think Deontay Johnson is right that the Browns want Kenny Pickett to win the job, but I think Joe Flacco will win the job, and my main reason is just watching how Kenny Pickett has handled his last two opportunities. The film does not lie, and you look at two organizations in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia who both need quarterbacks who essentially gave up on Kenny Pickett. So we know what Joe Flacco can do. He can play at a credible level. He went 4-1 with the Browns before. So if we're going to spend this whole offseason saying Howie Roseman is the best general manager in the game, and they could certainly use a good backup at a low price, and he basically decided to give Kenny Pickett away because Tanner McKee is a better quarterback than him, then ultimately I think Joe Flacco is going to be a better quarterback than him, and Shedeur Sanders will wind up being a backup or a third string quarterback.
And there's people out there in that audio courtesy of NFL Network. There's people out there, Jason, who said, like, oh, Kenny, you hate Kenny Pickett. I'm like, I don't hate Kenny Pickett at all. But I shudder at the thought of Kenny Pickett starting because I know that these guys, these veterans in this locker room, they may come to respect Kenny Pickett. I don't think that they disrespect Kenny Pickett, but I know they respect Joe.
Yes.
And I know they believe that Joe, yeah, I know he has his peccadilloes for throwing his interceptions and things like that, but I know they respect Joe and they think that he can conduct the offense. And I think if you start the season, which it's going to be a tough start to the season. It's a tough schedule. It's the NFL. But if you start the season with somebody else, I think you put all these guys in a position where they just start to question you. Like, which lily pad now are we going to go if you don't take the guy that we all trust gives us the best chance to win?
I don't see, and I hear you. The locker room conversation is really interesting to me because, so who are you referring to? Like, name names. Who are the players?
I'm not going to name names.
Why?
Because I'm not going to name names.
All right, I'll name them. Leaders of the team. You're talking about Miles. You're talking about Joel Bitonio.
I'm going to sit here stone-faced and do that because
Are you talking about Quinshon Judkins? Are you talking about the rookies? Are you talking about the veterans?
This isn't the Nixon tapes. You're not going to get that out of me.
You do it to me all the time.
This isn't Watergate.
Why can't I turn around and do it to you?
I'm not a reporter. I'm not a Big J journalist. You are.
All right, couple things.
Put a thumb up or thumb down.
We're still on tape, and Joey does everything he can to make me look bad.
It'll be fine.
Let's talk about the veterans. So let's talk about Miles and Joel, okay? Joel knew what he was signing up for when he came back here. This is probably his last year in the NFL.
I got to be careful. I'm looking into the camera, too. I'm stone-faced.
He knew what he was walking into when he chose to come back for one more year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want Joel to go out with the good of feeling as he can have with the Browns. But the Browns have to worry about the bigger picture here. With Miles got plenty of money for pain and suffering. Like, Miles, I don't feel sorry for Miles anymore. He took the money. So enjoy the money because you're not going to win. And he knows that. So you can't feel sorry for him. So who else are we really talking about here?
I'm not telling you.
I don't see what playing a 40-year-old quarterback, what is the upside of that? You're going to win an extra game or two?
In the big scheme of things, no. But I think
that's
what the
organization has to worry about.
But the veterans, then why sign the guy in the first place? Because the veterans in there are going to go,
agree.
Okay, you guys say it's not worth it, but it's my ass on the line every Sunday.
Yeah.
So I could go out there and I could play a nice long career still. I could have another 3-4 years, or this could be my last snap. And if I don't trust the guy going out there, I'm already going to feel even worse about it. And you know what? Damn it, your fans are going to feel like it's been more of the same. That's why I'm preaching about experience. It's like, guys, you think like the season goes like that. And so many times it does. It's 17 games in 18 weeks. It is a 6-week marathon to get ready for this season. I know you got to get ready for it. But this is why it's like, if you're trying to do anything, anything at all, which is just win some games, prove that you know how to coach the football team, and prove that you can motivate some people as being the coach of the football team, you go with the guy who has the experience that they did go on a run with in 2023 that most of the guys that are still on that football team actually remember. That's where you start the year. You don't start off with Kenny Pickett or one of the rookies.
I feel compassion for the players because I remember in the locker room in Washington last year, I went to that game. I booked a late flight and thought, like, I'm going to go just in case like it all falls apart. And sure enough, that's where it all fell apart. Washington is where the season ended, as far as I'm concerned. And I remember walking out of that stadium thinking, the Brown season just ended before the Guardian season did. And talking to some people in the locker room who felt like, man, it's October. We've got like 12 games to go. Where do we go from here? Like, how do we get through this? And so I understand that, and I have empathy for that. But as an organization, you have to look at the greater good of how do we get better for the long term? How do we fix this organization? How do we pull us up out of this disaster that we are in following the Deshaun Watson thing? And I don't know how playing a 40-year-old quarterback solves any of that.
I respect that. I also remember now that I was watching that game and I started getting loaded and I was on the phone with Tone. And I remember Frankie LeVue kicking our ass. And I think he had a sack because I was on the phone with Tone and Tone was before me. He goes, guess what you're about to see? And all of a sudden I went, Frankie LeVue, how do you do?
That game was something, man.
Joining us right now, as she does every Thursday, and we're very thankful to her to do so, as Jason Lloyd is in today for Anthony Lima, the great Mary Kay Cabot, the legend, joins us right now. Cleveland.com, the Cleveland Plain Dealer. She's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing very, very well, Mary Kay.
I'm all right. I got to put up with him for 4 hours.
Okay, that's enough. That is too much. He comes in here, he sweats his ass off, Mary Kay.
Would you stop?
He dresses like a slob. It's
better than you today.
It's an unprofessional presentation. This is a hoodie, but it's not a slovenly hoodie as if you would wear one. Anyway, Mary Kay, sorry you had to be a part of that. Mary Kay, first off, the NFL collusion stuff. Boy, a lot. We all knew that the NFL, we assumed the rest of the NFL teams were going to be upset with the Browns. Boy, we didn't know how upset they were going to be with the Browns, and they found themselves in a little bit of hot water in that arbitration hearing, did they not?
Well, they did, and I certainly don't think that we've heard the last of this, but it's very, very interesting. And, of course, I was at those owners' meetings when all of the owners were very, very upset about the Deshaun Watson deal, and you just knew that there were going to be ramifications from that. But I am surprised. I have been surprised that no one has received a fully guaranteed contract since then. It was quite shocking. I thought that would get the ball rolling then, but now we know, there may have been some extenuating circumstances there.
Is this a big deal, little deal, or no deal?
I don't really think it's a huge deal in the minds of fans. I'm sure it's a pretty big deal at the NFL level and amongst the owners, and it's not necessarily a good look, but I really don't think it's a huge deal.
I remember I was with you at those owners' meetings, and we asked Jimmy and Dee about the reception because there was sort of whispers and rumblings going around that they were not well received. And Jimmy sort of downplayed it as, nobody said anything to us about it. You know, we were just in the room with them. Do you think they've been, I don't know if forgiven is the right word for that, or do you think owners still sort of side-eye them for just how they operate?
I think some still hold that against them. Again, as we've seen, it hasn't happened for any other quarterback or player, except for now rookies are starting to get fully guaranteed contracts. So the dam might be open a little bit. This could be a turning point here, and it could end up and result in more guaranteed contracts. But I would say that some owners probably still hold that against them some.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Yeah, it was just interesting to see, you know, Dean Spanos and Michael Bidwell texting each other about, in specifics, you know, mentioning Cleveland and how they quote unquote messed it up for everybody else. But J.C. Treader, you know, that's a tough deal. I got to tell you, Mary Kay, I was disappointed. I like J.C. I think that he's a smart guy, but I thought that this was not seeing the forest for the trees there. having to protect the Players Association because you're looking out for future roles within the NFLPA. I just didn't think it'd be very smart of him.
Yeah, well, that part of it is it's very interesting to see what kind of role he may have played in all of that. And I think, once again, we're probably going to hear more about this as time goes on. But I didn't think it was a great look for JC, what I've read initially. But I still have to delve into it a little bit deeper to see just how far that went.
All right. When we get to the Browns, we had Mike Florio on yesterday. He talked about the possibilities of trading away Kenny Pickett. Is Kenny Pickett closer to being the week one starter or being traded?
I would say closer to being the week one starter. I would absolutely say closer to being the week one starter. I've been saying all along, or at least lately I've been saying for the past month and a half or so, that I think it's going to be one of those veteran quarterbacks. I think it'll be Kenny, or I think it will be Joe. And I've also written that I think all four of them, you know that I've written this, Ken, because we've debated it a little bit, that I think all four of them will make the roster. And not only do I think all four of them will make the roster, but I think it's conceivable that they will remain on the roster for a good bit of time, maybe through the trade deadline and maybe beyond the trade deadline, because they're really not sure yet which of those veterans are going to work out the best for them. And the other two quarterbacks are largely developmental.
Turn the mic on. Why can't they carry all four? Like, why not? It's never. I realize it's not normal, and it's probably never been done. But I don't know, for a team that's probably not have very high expectations for itself this year, what's the harm in carrying all four?
I don't think there is a harm in carrying all four. You can mess around a little bit with the practice squad if you need to, with one of the veterans perhaps, but at certain times or certain key points, but there is no harm really in keeping all four. You would just have to be a little bit more creative in how you manage your game day roster. And you'd have to have guys that are versatile enough to play special teams for you and also give you some time on offense or defense. But I don't think keeping all four would hurt them in any way.
Well, did I disagree with you vehemently? I don't think I did. I think that is a possibility to keep all four. Mary Kay.
No, you didn't. You did not disagree with me, you know, vehemently. But I didn't think that you thought that it was as plausible as I stated. But I think it is. I think they can do that because initially they were planning probably to keep three in Joe, Kenny, and Dylan when they say pre-draft, and then when Shador was added to the mix, he was added as a developmental player, basically, not someone that they really looked at as a week one starter. So he was kind of a add-on, and I just think that there is a chance.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
That they could keep all four.
When you mentioned practice squad as a way to sort of manipulate, for lack of a better term, manipulate the game day roster, would one of the rookies, do you think, clear waivers and make it? Or would another team claim one of the rookies? Or would it have to be one of the veterans? I'm just, because I've heard that before, and I don't necessarily totally disagree. I'm just trying to play out in my mind the logistics of how that works.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how they would do it, but I would think it would be more so you would just stash a veteran over there for a period of time because with the agreement that they're not going to sign with someone else.
Yeah.
I don't think I would expose putting a rookie over there because, once again, these guys are developmental and you're going to want to invest more time and effort into seeing what they can become for you. So I wouldn't do that, but you might be able to do something with one of the other guys. And, of course, if they get an offer that they can't refuse at some point leading up to the trade deadline, and then you have a much clearer picture of how these guys are going to play for you or what they can do, you know, that might change things at that point.
I was talking to Ken about this earlier, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, because I've felt all along, like, in my mind, Kenny's probably right now, to me, the favorite to be the week one starter. And I know a lot of people roll their eyes and yell at me every time I say that. One of the things that I'm just curious about this, if the Browns really wanted Joe Flacco to be their starter, why not sign him as soon as free agency opens? Why did they wait a month into free agency to sign him? Why was Kenny the first move that they made? And then, oh, by the way, a month later, they picked up Joe.
Well, heading into this whole thing, I have been saying that I thought Kenny went into it with an edge to be the week one starter. That is what I believe they had in their minds. And I've been writing and saying all along that they thought perhaps maybe he could be their version of a Sam Darnold. But then you have to get the guy into your building. Then you have to get the guy out on your grass. You have to start to see how he operates and how he moves. And spring ball isn't necessarily a great time for Kenny Pickett to show his strengths and show what he can do, because he relies a lot on athleticism and mobility, and that's just not what they've been doing in these spring practices. The spring practices have been more beneficial for a guy like Joe, who is, you know, running the Kevin Stefanski offense and not having to rely on his legs very much. So I think Kenny will look better when they get into some of these joint practices and when they get into games. But he still has to come up a learning curve, and Joe doesn't have to come up a learning curve. So I think both of those guys are still now very, very much in the mix, whereas initially I think Kenny probably had the edge, and then you have to see how it plays out. Yeah.
Kevin Stefanski was ranked 10th of returning NFL coaches this year by PFF. Do you think we in the media overrate Kevin Stefanski, underrate Kevin Stefanski? Do you think that maybe some fans out there don't appreciate the work of what he does enough?
Why can't he just be rated? Why does it have to be over or under? Why
because
can't it
I
just
think
be
there
right
were a
on?
Lot of people that saw Kevin Stefanski coming back as a 3-14 coach at number 10 overall that had some very surprised feelings over that, including a couple of guys in the afternoon here on The Fan. That's why I asked her the question, Jason. Thank you.
Fine, go ahead.
Well, I think when you look at the whole entire Kevin Stefanski experience, it's been, of course, about the quarterback. Let's see what he can do when he has his quarterback. He really hasn't had that here, per se. It was supposed to be, of course, Deshaun Watson. That did not work out. And then they've just been patching it together ever since. So let's see what he can do. I don't know if the guy is on the roster now. I don't know if their quarterback of the future is going to come in the first round next year. But I think Kevin Stefanski is a very, very good coach, but like all good coaches, you have to have the quarterback to go along with it. So I don't think we've seen the best of him yet.
The stadium being built, we are very close to everything being given a go for the brand new stadium in Brook Park. Your thoughts on everything that transpired yesterday?
Well, it was really exactly what they needed, and no matter what was going to happen at the county level, or how the city felt about it, as long as they got that state funding, this project was going to be a go. So that was great news for them. I'm sure they're popping the champagne in Berea. They're extremely excited about it. And before long, ground will be broken, and the Cleveland Browns will be moving to Brook Park.
We had Daryl on last hour. I asked him this. I'm curious your thoughts. The Browns seem very eager to work with the city previously, financially, to take down the stadium, to renovate the lakefront. Now that they basically got everything that they wanted with very little cooperation from the city or county, no cooperation from the city and county, will they still be as eager to help financially, or do they now just take what they have and go and tell them, you had your chance, sorry, figure it out?
Well, I think that the Cleveland Browns, it would be in their best interest to maintain a good working relationship with the city and the county. So I would think that they would celebrate and be happy that they got what they wanted from the state. And I do think that it would be important for them to cooperate and still be a big part of the downtown renovation, because the last thing that they want or should want would be to be thought of as a group of people that kind of helped gut a city. They don't want that. That's never what any of this was about. They want to be transformational in the region. So I think that it would behoove them to make sure that they're cooperating in any way possible.
Mary Kay, couldn't agree with you more. Thank you very much for the time. We'll talk to you again very soon. All the best.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Say it. Say it again. Say what you said. Call it again. No, not that. I'm talking about what? The stadium. Say what you said about the stadium.
Good riddance. Let it burn.
No, y'all.
Let it burn.
Just use
construction equipment.
Yeah, I don't know if you got to set the thing on fire. Plus, you got four more years you got to play in the thing.
It is just a haunted house at this point. It's been awful.
I love haunted houses.
It's been awful.
Now we've got an idea for what to do with the
structure. Oh, my gosh.
Knock it into Lake Erie and shove it to Canada.
You did the other one in Lake Erie.
Let them worry about it.
It's not Canada's problem. It's our problem now. Come on. You make another reef. Got one of those.
You know what's better than one reef?
Two reefs. 216-474-0092. Do you agree with Jason? I was shocked at how flippant you were. That you just called the thing an eyesore.
What good memories
that you said
are there?
Good riddance. I want to ask you, before I get to these calls, did you ever sit in the seats as a fan?
Yes.
I don't believe you at all.
Oh, okay.
You're old. I don't believe you. I think you always sat in there in the press box and with your cynicism and everything.
No.
You never had to have a good time. You never got to have a good time at a Browns game in the 500s with your buddies. You never did that.
No, yes, I did. In fact, when Ohio State played at USC, I was covering Ohio State. I took a red-eye home after the game so I could go with friends. She's my wife now. It was my girlfriend at the time.
Nice.
And we went to Brown-Steelers game together. And I took my son to his first Browns game, the Saints game that was 148 below zero on Christmas Eve a couple years
Browns
ago.
Game.
That was his first Browns game. I took him to that.
Hey, you got and you still call it, say, good riddance?
Yes.
That's crazy.
It's a horrible stadium.
I'm excited about
with
the future.
Horrible memories.
I'm excited about the future. Some of them memories toughen you up.
Hey,
there's men out there who go, you know what? I'm more ready to take on other things in my life by some of the things that I've seen in that stadium. I didn't think Joe Flacco was going to do what he did with the Jets. And I sat there in stunned silence. And they're sitting there going, you know what? Got me ready for some things, man.
Yeah, what Baker did against the Jets was awesome. Too bad it ended a 416-game losing streak.
It's an awesome night. It's a hell of a night.
Get out of here.
It's a hell of a night.
Always have the refrigerators.
That old stadium.
I still have one. Thank you very much.
That old stadium was a dump before this one, but, man, were there good memories
there. There were great memories in the old one.
So
the old one was built at a different time for different reasons and all that other stuff.
This thing has been just sterile from the start.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
They rushed this construction. They had to hurry up and get it up.
It's not the poor stadium's fault.
It's been nothing but a calamity.
I've had a lot of good memories in that stadium. I went with my buddy's late dad to a Browns-Ravens game. Deion Sanders' last game in the NFL. One of my all-time favorite players, Deion Sanders.
Come on, Ken, take your calls. All these calls you wanted, take your calls.
Okay, John in Cleveland. Hello, John.
Yeah, I agree with Jason 100%.
That
stadium is a blight on the NFL in this city. There are no good memories there. It's a waste pit. The only people who enjoyed that stadium are opposing teams' fans.
Yep.
Namely,
I'm not an opposing team's fan, John. Like I enjoyed the stadium.
You know who loved that stadium? Ben Roethlisberger loved that stadium.
Yeah, of course, Ken, you enjoyed the Browns stadium. You enjoy everything they do. You enjoyed the 4-0 preseason start, too.
Did. It was a fun time, John. I did do that. It's not everything. I don't enjoy everything that they do, John. Thank you for the call. Demos and Shaker, you're next up on the fan. Hello, Demos. Do you agree?
Hello.
Do you agree with Jason? Do you say good riddance?
Not at all, because the Browns experience with me up in section 320, Theon, all my buddies that we sit with, that helped me endure horrible football. So while I understand what he's saying there, it tells me that maybe he's a little, antisocial or something.
Because, lost touch.
Yes, because maybe. I mean, now that he's been published in the New York Times and all that, who knows? Yeah. But here's
what
the thing.
What does that got to do with the price of fish?
You just think you're better than everybody. You think you're better than all the callers. You think you're better than all the listeners.
That is absolutely not true.
Okay.
Listen, here's the thing, though.
Who's got with the indoor pool here? Oh, okay, that's right.
Not me.
There you go, Kenny. Yeah. Sorry, touche. But here's the deal here. Think about, I want to talk a little bit also about Sanders and Kenny Pickett.
Hold on. One thing at a time. We will have plenty of time to get into the Kenny Pickett stuff. It's a long summer, okay?
The stadium stuff. That was going to be my point.
Okay, I'll tell you this. I knew where you were going to go even before I took the call. Like, Demos is the type of guy. Yeah. Well, no, because you're the type of guy I talk about. And this is the thing. Like, I met Demos in person. He's a good guy. He's argumentative. And thank you for the call, Demos. But he's a good guy. And there are guys who sat there, and I bring up the 537 boys. I bring them up all time. But there are other fans that, you know what, like, hey, you know, my buddy's dad, Mark, he was a big Browns fan. Now Mark ain't here no more. And yeah, this thing has sucked. I'm going to miss Mark. And there's memories that are tied to it. Even memories through bad things get tied to it. It's a good time. I remember the stadium when they beat New Orleans in week two for obviously specific reasons if you listen to the show for any period of time there. I always remember that. And then that son that was conceived that day, I remember taking him to his first Browns game against the Arizona Cardinals there. So it all comes full circle.
I remember Rudd throwing his helmet. I remember all the beer bottles landing on the field.
And I will sit there on the stadium's last day and I will go, man, there has been some wild bleep that has happened out here on this field. And I may not say that, I'm going to miss it all and all that other stuff, but I think that there's a certain respect for what we've all sat through, and that stadium is a representation of all of us being together and sitting through all this together.
Not one playoff game. Not one.
Fair.
In 30 years, not one friggin' playoff game.
Riddance. That's goodbye. The Browns' fault. That's not the fans' fault.
I'm just telling you how I feel about the stadium.
That's not even the stadium's fault. And all you guys say it's cursed. You're really going to put it against somebody to not go over there at Brick Park right now and put some hex on that land right now? Considering all the tough talking that's going on. Chris Ronayne's out there doing God knows what right now. Come on.
Reckless speculation.
Come on. Keep taking your calls. Come on.
I don't know if he knows how to do that, but we'll find out. Rocky on the road. You're next up on the fan.
Rocky's not on the road.
That's what it says. He's driving.
I'm in a car. Yeah, I'm driving to work. He's driving.
Marshmallow Lane.
If I had a wish and could push the detonator to blow that stadium up.
Attaboy.
It is a dump.
Yes.
It was built on the cheap. The sight lines, if you're on the lower level, you can't even see the hash mark.
Yep.
And you're looking at the jumbotron half the time. If I think that anyone from my era, I'm a lot older than you, Ken. I'm almost 60. I think that.
Oh, you sound really young. I got to tell you.
Yeah, you do.
You sound great, Rocky.
Well, thank you. But I think that anybody from my era that got to sit through the Brian Sipe era, the Bernie Kosar era, I don't think any of my friends, any of my former Browns, my father was a coach. I went to a lot of games. We had season tickets. Would not want to blow that stadium up. It was just, it's just nothing but bad memories. It's horrific. I can't wait till they tear it down.
You know what? It's up to them for them to create good memories in the new stadium, Rocky, because you could just sit there and have the same terrible memories in 30 years at the new stadium. I hope it isn't that way. Think of the memories you have together, everybody. Together.
Watching your team
in
lose.
In the stands. In 2020. When Tone is not a crier. I'm a way more emotional person than him. When we cried, which you could say is pathetic, I don't care. You will because you're nasty and you're heartless.
Oh, jeez.
When we got emotional and wept on the air over them making the playoffs, over the Browns making the playoffs.
Oh, I didn't expect to have this reaction. Oh, it kind of got me a little emotional here, I swear to God.
Stop it.
I don't know, Tone,
Stop it.
Is that real?
That is very real. That's 100% real.
What's wrong with
you? When they made the play, Tone did it too. Ask Owen, ask Kid. It wasn't over the team. It was over the stadium. It was over the fans.
It was over that beautiful stadium.
It was over the fans. The stadium is a place where those fans have gathered for generations. That's what it's about. It's about the fans. And there's something there that
and the fans are telling you it's
I respect. A hole. I probably won't miss it because I'll have a great big brand new facility, and that's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be expensive, but it's going to be fun.
Those Kenny Chesney concerts were great.
I wouldn't have gone to see Kenny Chesney.
At SummerSlam last summer, that's a memory I hold near
and
dear.
You want to talk about prices. Listen, there's a lot of great things that have happened there. I just don't think you guys are seeing the forest for the trees here. You guys are mad over the things the Browns did on the field. I'm asking you to remember what happened in the stands with all you guys.
Oh, when everyone was fighting and throwing up on each other.
No one was fighting and throwing up on me. Times.
They had that possum in there, that one.
Remember the guy who got the possum? Remember when ain't getting no possum in the new stadium.
Remember when they put the banners in the wrong order? That was great.
That was such a great memory.
Brandon Whedon core memory.
Trapped under the flag.
And those are fun memories. Those are fun memories. We laugh about them now. It was silly and dumb, and we laugh about them now. Dwayne Rowe throwing the helmet.
Remember when Miles smashed Mason Rudolph over that?
Miles smashing Mason Rudolph.
Carmen Policy, those bottles don't pack a wallop. Oh, they're good times.
Remember when Mike Holmgren told you to ask him for playoffs?
You guys are making my case for me. No, we're not.
We're telling you why it's so horrible.
It's about each other. You'll just if the Browns don't get it, you can't just tell me you're just there to watch the Browns, and if the Browns win, you'll be happy, and if the Browns lose, you will be upset, and there's nothing else that's good that happens in the stadium.
Remember when they were almost about to make the playoffs in 2014, they couldn't score against the Colts?
All right, stay here. 216-474-0092. That was one of my lowest moments on the air. I came in the next day, and I think I was like holding my eye, and I was screaming about Mike. Oh, God, was it a bad day? 216-474-0092. Do you agree with Jason? Do you say good riddance to the old stadium, which is still currently the stadium?
We'll still play in for the next four seasons.
Ken Carmen, Jason Lloyd.
The countdown is on. We can set it on fire and let it burn.
We should have Mike Dickin do the game for the last game. Where's the guy who has the handsaw? Where's the guy who has it? Bring him back in here. We've got some things we got to dislodge.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.